British capitalism's bleak future. Dave Reid, Socialist Party National Committee, a leading capitalist think tank, has outlined the bleak situation facing British capitalism. And unless society is changed, this means a desperate future for working people. The Resolution Foundation is a think tank of Blairites and Tories that aims to improve outcomes for people on low and modest incomes. It wants to persuade governments to introduce mild reforms that mitigate the worst effects of capitalism, and in doing so hopes to protect the system from the working class anger that its conditions provoke. Together with the London School of Economics, it has established a two-year The Economy 2030 inquiry to examine the huge challenges facing the UK economy in the 2020s. Specifically, the recovery from COVID-19, the effects of Brexit, and decarbonisation of the economy, in the context of already existing technological and demographic changes. Its initial report presents a devastating indictment of British capitalism in the 2020s. The report describes a country more unproductive, lower paid and more unequal than its rivals, and falling further behind. Just a few facts show the parlous state of British capitalism. The weakest job mobility since the 1930s, the poorest productivity record for 120 years, causing real wages to stagnate, average earnings stalled at the same level in real terms as they were in 2008, almost no income growth for low-paid workers for 15 years, a worse record for inequality than any EU country apart from Bulgaria. The report correctly criticizes the promises of the Johnson government to build back better and level up, because neither it nor the current Labour leadership has an economic plan for achieving those objectives. In fact, the Financial Times has warned of a leveling down, with London hit by the continued absence of office workers, Brexit damaging manufacturing areas, and the pandemic still ravaging disadvantaged communities. Nevertheless, this report plays a useful role for the workers' movement by providing a mass of data to describe the dire situation of British capitalism. British capitalism, which once controlled one quarter of the world's economy, is falling further and further behind its rivals. On the eve of the 2008-09 financial crisis, GDP per capita in the UK was just 6% lower than in Germany, but after a large downturn and slower recovery, this gap had risen to 12% by 2019 inches. This is a warning that Britain could join the emasculated Italian economy at the bottom of the league tables for advanced capitalist nations. British capital decline. According to The Economist, since 2005, British firms' share of world market capitalization has fallen from over 7% to 3%. British capital has halved in relative value in 15 years. After decades of Tory and Blairite undiluted neoliberal policies in Britain, Germany, and France are about 15% more productive than the UK. In addition, British capitalism is posed with new problems, the consequences of which the capitalists and their governments will try and unload onto working people. The report lists the following. COVID-19, more home working as a result of the pandemic will benefit the top earners, but will make low-paid workers even more insecure. Brexit, the Johnson government's Brexit settlement will impose higher costs of doing business with the EU, its main trading partner. Net zero, decarbonization requires urgent action that capitalism is unlikely to satisfy. Demography, the ratio of people under the age of 20 or over 65 to those aged 20 to 64 is likely to increase even faster than in any other decade in the first half of the 21st century. Technology, the OECD estimates that 14% of jobs could disappear as a result of automation in the next 15 to 20 years. The concern about automation affecting employment, however, coexists with the reality that, for the UK, the more pressing recent problem has been too little technological investment. Under capitalism in crisis, there is no way that new technology can be introduced while at the same time protecting the jobs and living standards of the working class. All these challenges could be met by the adoption of socialist policies. But on the basis of a continuation of capitalism, they pose a stark warning to the working class and the trade union movement as the bosses try and make us pay for the crisis in their system. Although the authors of the report do not spell it out, it is absolutely clear from its data that the responsibility for the uncompetitiveness of the British economy lies squarely at the doorstep of its owners, the effete and short-sighted capitalist class. Productivity is growing at its lowest rate since 1900, mainly because investment is low. Low investment has been the central problem of British capitalism for a century. The capitalist press try and pin the blame for the decline of British manufacturing on greedy unions, but decades of underinvestment have meant that British manufacturing companies have not been able to compete with their rivals. In 1978, the Financial Times reported that the average British worker had just £7,500 worth of machinery at their elbow, the German worker £22,000, and the Japanese £30,000. Small wonder, therefore, that in the cold wind of Thatcherism, 39% of manufacturing jobs were blown away between 1979 and 1993. British capitalists turned instead to making a quick buck in the finance and service sectors, but low investment means that productivity is declining in these sectors too. And what is left of British manufacturing capitalism today is following on the tradition of its predecessors. As the Foundation reports, in 2017, the UK had only 71 robots installed per 10,000 manufacturing employees, compared to 309 in Germany and 631 in Korea. The British ruling class is slowly waking up to the threat to humanity posed by climate change, but its system is incapable of transforming to a zero-carbon economy. At the end of June, Tory ex-minister John Gummer said, "Almost all things that should have happened have either been delayed or haven't hit the mark." The resolution report authors plead, "We need to move from installing almost zero heat pumps each year to installing 3,000 every single day by 2030, 60% of fuel supply, oil, and gas industries, and half of surface transport decarbonization needs to happen during the 2020s. To achieve net zero by 2050. But currently, the steps in that direction are minuscule, and on the basis of capitalism, net zero will never be achieved, let alone by 2050. Annual UK low-carbon investment needs to reach around £50 billion by 2030, but currently stands at £7 billion. Green New Deal, a socialist Green New Deal, could achieve those results before 2050. It would need to renationalize the energy industry under democratic workers' control and management, to use the resources currently extracted as super profits for the utilities companies and gear production, to invest in heat pumps, home insulation, tidal power, electrification and free public transport to lower car use. As part of a socialist plan, the financial burden of low-carbon transition would not fall on working-class families. The transition under capitalism, where bosses look to increase prices to maintain or boost their profits, will add to energy bills, which eat up 2.5 times as much disposable income of the bottom fifth of households when compared to the top fifth. Trade unions, with their 6.7 million members, and growing in Britain, are the force in society best placed to fight for an economy run in the interests of the workers, not the bosses. But many trade union leaders are tied to the capitalist establishment, declaring a social truce during the first phase of the COVID crisis as many workers' living standards were being shredded. Francis O'Grady, the General Secretary of the Trades Union Congress, TUC, is one of the inquiry members who famously joined with the Bosses' Union, the Confederation of British Industry, CBI, to endorse the furlough plan of Tory Chancellor Rishi Sunak on the steps of Downing Street. Rubbing shoulders with the CBI, Tories and Blairites in this inquiry to try and square the contradictions of capitalism will get us nowhere. Instead, the trade union leaders should be preparing for the battles to defend workers as the bosses attempt to make us pay for their endemic crisis. And the trade unions should be drawing up plans for a new mass workers' party that can fight to avert the irreversible slide into capitalist decay outlined in this report.